Morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. I'm deeply sorry the inconvenience of this morning with the sound and echo. I would like to tell you something about the urban hydrological cycle and the challenges and possibilities regarding to the cycle of water, organic carbon, nutrients, but also the problems of the existing micropollutants in the urban hydrological cycle. My presentation starts with some introduction to the history of development project in the area of water and sanitation throughout the years. And then I would like to introduce our system here in Global North. And then explain some of our experiences from the Kenya with the slums and areas with the decentralized sanitation. And in the very end, I would like to introduce some possible tools to solve these issues. So, what have been around all these years? I have been in the water business. There has been always some attempt to solve these issues. And I remember this first one when I was a very young student and started to study environmental and water sciences. So it was the decade, drinking water decade, in order to solve these issues of the access to water supply and sanitation. Unfortunately, it didn't work. And after that came this Rio Janeiro. The Millennium, United Nations Millennium Development Goals were introduced, which were one of those targets was to halve by 2015 the proportion of the population without sustainable access to safe drinking water and basic sanitation. So, what happened during this program? So, a lot of people in the world get something what can be called improved drinking water services, but unfortunately, the progress in the area of the safe sanitation didn't succeed that well. And after that, because these final goals were not obtained, another program was launched and Sustainable Development Goals after this Rio Plus 20. And instead of 8 development goals, 17 different goals were launched. And among of them, one is goal number 6, access to clean water and sanitation for all. But there are a lot of other goals related to this water and safety and safe sanitation. Here I can share you a couple of pictures of the so-called unimproved water sources, not safe for the consumption of human being, or what means unimproved sanitation, open defecation, shared latrines, hanging latrines, or some kind of open pits without slabs. Sanitation and water are related to some other almost all of these other sustainable development goals. So, for example, it's related to poverty and access to drinking water, food production are related to use the existing water wisely and safely, for example, for the irrigation, without compromising the microbiological or chemical safety of the foodstuff. Of course, clean water and sanitation are very closely connected to the disease burden of the society. Water and sanitation are extremely important for particularly females, girls, and children, and other vulnerable groups. And water and problems of the water are related also to the infrastructure of the our society and good governments, and of course the protection of the load, environmental load, or both terrestrial and aquatic pollution. Okay, and next summer, August 2022, we are going to have a summer school in Jyväskylä, and there's a possibility to come and visit and join us during this 1 week, where we discuss about all these conflicts between these demand of water, because water is needed for the drinking purposes, it's needed for food production, and it's needed for energy production, among other, and these are at least these three are very much interlinked. Okay, and now I would like to talk about the possibilities to how to get access to safe safe sanitation, safe supply of drinking water, and then first, what is an urban hydrological cycle? So we take the raw water from groundwater, rivers, lakes. At least here in Global North, it's pretty much treated with different kind of processes, chemical or physical, in order to eliminate the microorganisms, pathogens, and pollutants from the drinking water, which is led to the society, industry, and services. Drinking water turns to wastewater, which is collected, hopefully collected, to the collection system and led to the proper wastewater treatment plant, where this organic matter, most of the nutrients, suspended solid, and microorganism pathogens are removed and eliminated, or at least transferred to the sludge and taken from the streams of the clean water, which is led back to the water bodies, perhaps as a source of the raw water for another community. So, with this kind of system, there are possibilities for contamination, cross-contamination, and mixture of unwanted ingredients into the wastewater stream, coming from the industry streets, and for example also from households. This is a picture of a very typical Finnish or Scandinavia or European drinking water system. As you can see, there are several different kind of physical chemical unit operation in order to control the risk with multi-barrier approach. So if one of those unit operations is failing, there is something we can compensate. And finally, we have safe water, at least when it is leaving the drinking water treatment plant. Of course, even we have problems of the contamination of the very good high quality drinking water in the distribution systems. And then it's led to the households, families, apartments, where it can be, for example, consumed by drinking purposes without any health hazards. Or in Europe, the water has to be also cool, clear, and there shouldn't be any taste or odor in the drinking water. We need about 2 liters of drinking water per day, and then some other couple of liters for cooking and other purposes. But the consumption of the water in our household is average 120 liters per day because of the flushing of the toilet and taking the shower and cleaning of the household. And during this, the consumption of the water, for example, the flushing of the toilet means that all our excreta and urine is more or less led to the sewer system. Not like here, no pizza, no beer is discharged to the toilet, but we all know that what happens to this organic matter, these nutrients, phosphorus, nitrogen, and they end up to the wastewater. In the global north, the method of the anal cleaning is toilet paper, and the consumption of the toilet paper can be up to 15 kilos per person per year with this extra load of the system. And then comes all these ingredients, household chemicals, cleaning aids, detergents, but also the also the personal care products, which can contain a lot of nasty, non-biodegradable ingredients, even toxic to the aquatic system, or at least they are very persistent for the degradation and can pass the wastewater treatment plant. My special area for 20 years has already been the occurrence of pharmaceuticals, particularly antibiotics, in the urban hydrological cycle. They end up to the wastewater from the industry. Some of those unused medicines are discharged to the toilet, but it's not acceptable solution. But absolutely the biggest source of the pharmaceuticals is through our body, since some of the active ingredients are able to pass our body as unchanged, or then they are metabolized and then excreted by the kidneys via urine, and this parent compound of the active ingredients can leave the metabolic moiety of the molecule after it's in the wastewater treatment system, and it looks like that there is increase of and formation of active ingredients in the wastewater treatment plant, but in fact they just leave this kind of glucuronide moiety. And yes, in global north, in Europe, in Finland, in my home city Jyväskylä, we have very nice, very effective collection system of wastewater from quite big area, and treatment of the water in centralized system with chemical precipitation, biological degradation, sedimentation, and there has been a concern of the removal of the residuals of the pollutants in the wastewater, and that's why we received a very effective post-treatment system with ceramic filtration combined with UV treatment, and these efficiencies mentioned here in this picture were very typical figure for the modern version of the wastewater treatment plant in Finland, including the treatment of this sludge what is produced by anaerobic treatment and digestion, which can be seen on the left upper corner of the picture. And after this anaerobic digestion, energy is collected, and the residual of the activated sludge is used for the post-composting, and after perhaps half a year, 1 year, this material is suitable for landscaping and agricultural use. Even though lately there has been a raising problem of the possible possible occurrence of these non-biodegradable harmful micropollutants with have accumulated into the sludge. But compared to the some other countries, fortunately, the concentration of micropollutants, industrial chemicals, and pharmaceuticals are quite low so far. And there is the debate and discussion whether it's safe for example, for food production, perhaps not, or is it suitable for landscaping, which is the most gardening and non-edible plant production. And then the treated wastewater, of course, in Finland, we don't need the water for irrigation, but in some other countries, this possibility to use this treated effluent is very, very much relevant option for the irrigational purposes. I've been working with problems, environmental problems in Eastern Africa, and we have had this kind of exchange of students and teachers and researchers, and very quickly I found, and my research group found, that this concentration of the micropollutants is a huge problem in the countries with decentralized sanitation without proper treatment, and at the moment, at the same time, with the very high consumption of different kind of medicines. And particularly here, I would like to emphasize the role of the antibiotics and antiviral drugs due to the heavy burden of certain diseases like HIV and tuberculosis, which needs constant, very strong prophylactic medication. We studied and collected samples from the slums in the Nairobi area, and started to find the so-called hotspots. And very soon, we noticed by comparing the measured concentration of these active ingredients are much, much higher than what is the predicted no effect concentration. And this risk quotient should be less than one, but unfortunately it was higher than that. For example, in this case, this very high risk quotient was calculated and estimated for algae, Daphnia magna, and water flea. And what was very surprising, it was that we very soon found out that the concentration in the wastewater, the collected centralized system, contained much less antibiotics and antiviral compounds than these informal settings with different kind of brooks and ditches and rivers and ponds, with received a lot of waste, untreated wastewater, urine, even the fecal pollution. Compared to the concentrations and risks, this situation in countries in Eastern Africa, also in Zambia and South Africa, were much more serious. And besides of this possible aquatic ecotoxicological effect, there are also even more dramatic and risky scenarios, and everybody might have heard about this formation of antibiotic resistance, that this traditional good cheap antibiotics are not anymore useful, since bacteria has developed and obtained this resistance against those common and traditional antibiotics. And we continued the study also in area of Nairobi, and also we included this kind of centralized area of the Nairobi city, where the wastewater was collected and treated, and not very effectively, but there was treatment facilities, treatment ponds for the wastewater, collected wastewater. Some amount of this pharmaceuticals were able to be removed by these more or less robust wastewater treatment system, but still there is this informal settings or decentralized wastewater collection systems, which are very closely connected to these water sources. And for example, in Kenya, 75% of all the vegetables which are consumed in Nairobi use this kind of water from these brooks and ditches and rivers, which receive this untreated load of fecal load, including these pharmaceuticals via the urine. And then we calculated that, for example, besides of these algae, Daphnia, and fish, there is a significant risk for the formation of the antibiotic resistance due to the hatching of the bacteria in environment with a lot of fecal pollution pathogens in the con in the wastewater, where the concentration of the antibiotics is almost therapeutic, which favors the selection of these mutated bacteria. So, if we are not able to improve the sanitation, there is this risk, constant risk of the formation and spreading of antibiotic resistance, and in the area of the war against this antibiotic resistance formation, the sanitation, safe sanitation, is the tool number, perhaps not tool number one. It's a safe consumption of antibiotics, decrease of the consumption of the antibiotics, but then comes more or less the treatment of the wastewater coming from the hospitals, but also from the residential areas, particularly where the incidence of these diseases is high. I would like to recommend one very good handbook and produced by Eavax Sweden as Switzerland, which describes all kind of solutions for the creation of the different kind of sanitation system, starting from the user interface, meaning the toilet itself, how to collect it, how to transport it for the possible treatment, and hopefully for the final safe use or safe disposal of this human excrete and urine. And I would like to first introduce a typical conventional technique of decentralized sanitation, which has this water toilet. So the excess water makes this handling of the fecal matter and urine a little bit complicated. It, of course, it needs a water source, But also, it's making the amount of the polluted matter, the volume is higher. And also, the treatment becomes more complicated. I think all over the world, there are some kind of septic tank system, open or closed system, with the leaching of the water, hundreds of liters of the water containing these residuals of the wastewater impurities. And very often these final endpoint of this water that contains all these microorganisms, nutrients, and micropollutants end up to the ground and groundwater. And the first place to contaminate is the drinking water well of the household or the neighbor's drinking water well. Or this water is led to the open ditch and an environment. What we have been doing in our university already for years is the possibility to practice source separation in order to collect the fecal matter and then the urine separately, which makes the treatment of the fecal matter and urine easier. It's make possible, for example, to the production of biochar from the fecal matter, and the urine is a very, very effective fertilizer, particularly when we are in the situation that the price and access of the fertilizers might become more difficult in future. The interface of the consumer and sanitation system can vary. It can be this kind of temporary one, what is used in Finland. Then there is this kind of traditional Finnish dry toilet, which was common in Finnish countryside until the 80s, and still it's the most common solution for the sanitation in the summer cottages all over Finland. And there are hundreds of thousands of summer cottages in Finland. Or then there is this traditional pit latrines with a shelter, which are more or less pleasant for the users, usually not so pleasant. These alternative techniques for the sanitation without water is something what I think is extremely important. There has been a lot of attempts to do it. For example, this is from Sweden. There has been very many different kind of a system for composting and digestion of the compost and using it as a fertilizer. We are very interested about the collection of the urine. And for example, in Sweden, there are some communities where they practice this vacuum toilets and collection of the urine and storage of the urine by the municipality and using it as a fertilizer when it's needed. But at the moment, the situation is that it's not recommended for the irrigation of the any food which is eaten and consumed by human being because of this possible residual risk. We have been working also in our city. We have this kind of global dry toilet association, which has been active of building this kind of separating toilets, hundreds of them in Eastern Africa, in order to collect and propose the use of the urine as a fertilizer in the bigger scale or smaller scale. But here comes the problem. This urine still have these residuals of pharmaceuticals and the authorities and WHO and scientists all over the world should consider the giving the guidelines of the safe use and safe storage and perhaps the safe treatment of the urine before it's used for the irrigation, or the use of urine for purposes where it's not contact with food production, and so there is no possible risk for transport of these pharmaceutical antibiotic residuals into the food of consumption. Or one possibility is to use this fertilizer for purposes which are less sensitive for human risks. For example, for the production of something what is not eaten, for example, firewood production, or for example, biochar. And we in Jyväskylä, we have been organizing also this kind of dry toilet conferences, and we continue this work, and we have learned that there are places in also in India where this topic is studied very intensively. And please have a look these references of our research group, and if you want to learn more about this occurrence of those pharmaceuticals in the environment, where the concentration is very high and the risk for the all kind of risks is high. And what we want to do in future is to not just detect the problem, but solve the problem, and not also only to solve the problem, but to turn this waste, excreta and urine as a raw material and a fertilizer, and try to put this very valuable carbon, water, and nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium for some useful consumption and production of food or energy. And please find my contact information here with the link to our literature and also to my LinkedIn account. Thank you for your attention. Goodbye, good night. Thank you.